From the applied point of view, we have various applications, medical imaging, most notably spiral CT or C-arm imaging, and also industrial applications and security applications. So today I'll present a new formula for inversion of the cone beam transform given an arbitrary complete trajectory. Some notation. So C is a C infinity curve parameterized by parameter S, and it can actually be a finite union of several smooth pieces. D sub F is the cone beam transform. So Y is the source, theta is the unit direction of the ray. So S2 is unit sphere. Beta is the unit vector pointing from the current source position S towards the construction point X. Right. So I, with abuse of notation, I refer to points on the source trajectory just by the corresponding value of the parameter S. And given point X and direction xi, P of X xi is just a plane through X with normal vector xi. And given X and xi, Sj's are points of intersection of the plane with the source trajectory. Now introduce certain sets. So what is the first set? Think about the following situation. So we pick a source position S, we pick a reconstruction point X, and then we look at all the planes that contain the source and the point X. And then we find so-called critical planes, for example, those that would be tangent to C or that would contain an endpoint of C. And then sometimes this set contains all of the directions of the corresponding great circle. Right? And then irregular of X is the set of points on the trajectory for which this critical set is a strict subset of the great circle. Right. So sometimes the critical set coincides with the entire great circle. Think, for example, about the situation when the plane that contains current source position and current X, I mean, this line also contains an endpoint of the source trajectory. Then no matter which plane you choose, then you will always contain an endpoint. Right. Okay, and then crit X, X is just the union of all possible critical directions when S ranges over the source trajectory. Okay, then IREG is an open set, and then crit X has Lebesgue zero. Okay, now, so what do you want about the source trajectory? The first point to make here is that I reconstruct only at one point X. So that is, the reconstruction formula I'm going to talk about is holds point-wise. Right, so I don't care what happens from one point to the other. So basically, I'm only interested about one particular point X. And then if you want to reconstruct another X, just pick another X. Right. So all these considerations are for an arbitrary selected reconstruction point X. Okay, so we want two-is condition. It's actually a little bit relaxed two-is condition. So any plane through X intersects the trajectory C at least at one point. And then there are a couple of other purely mathematical conditions that I don't want to talk about in detail. Basically, they state the trajectory is not too exotic. For example, we all know. So one can come up with very weird curves, like in one-dimensional case, like sine 1 over x. Like x when x goes to zero, so that would have infinitely many oscillations over a compact interval. So those two conditions basically rule this out. So the only condition that one needs is just completeness. Right? Okay, so at least from the practical point of view. Another ingredient is the so-called weight function. This is what are the arguments of the weight function? So S here is source position, X is that reconstruction point, and alpha is the unit direction perpendicular to the axis through S and X. And so the main condition is that the weight function is normalized. So in other words, you do the following construction. So you pick, reconstruction point X, any direction alpha, and then look at all the intersection points of that plane with the source trajectory. So there are weights attached to these intersection points. So you add all the weights, they have to add up to one. And then another condition says that if you again start rotating the plane through given S and through given X, then the weight is piecewise constant. Right? Okay. So here's the illustration of what is going on. So here's the point X, alpha, and then one of the intersection points S, and then N just attaches weight to this point. Right? But I should say that the weight attached to this point does depend on everything. So in particular, if you start rotating this plane, right, about this axis, so the point stays fixed, then the weight might change. Right? So and in particular, I insist that the weight is piecewise constant. Right, so it has jumps once in a while. And this is construction of this illustration of the fact that the weight function is normalized. So you pick a particular plane, you add all the weights, and they have to add up to one. Okay, the final ingredient that I will need actually for the derivation is the cutoff function. So I discussed before critical directions that come from the trajectory, right? Sometimes you get tangent planes, sometimes you get planes that contain endpoints, but also you see I introduced additional critical directions, namely those that come from discontinuities of the weight. Right? So I combine everything together and I get set capital omega of X. And for particular X, this is still set of measure zero on the union sphere. And then this cutoff function eta is zero in a small neighborhood of the set capital omega, and then equals one everywhere else. Right? Of course, with smooth transition to zero in the neighborhood of this critical set. Okay, now let me discuss briefly the derivation of the inversion formula. Okay, so let's introduce the following operator acting on F. The operator depends on the cutoff function eta. So it looks weird, but actually it's quite simple. So what do we have here? So in braces here is the Grandjean formula essentially, right? So you take this cone beam transform, differentiate in a certain direction, right? In direction alpha, and then differentiate with respect to theta along alpha, and then integrate over all directions within the plane, right? So this gives you first derivative of the.
Key difference in previous formulations here is differentiation in angle. Is that correct?
Yes, this is differentiation in angle. Yes, this is just Grandjean formula, so there is nothing new here in this particular term. This is the classical Grandjean formula, so that relates Cohn-Beam transform and the first derivative of the Radon transform. Right. So you take your, this will be completely reworked. So just the main thing to remember from this would be that I'm starting with something that is very well known. So it has roots in Grandjean formula. And then once you realize that this is first derivative of the Radon transform, then you differentiate with respect to S, divide by the Jacobian. What you get is the second derivative of the Radon transform, which obviously does not depend on the intersection point. It all relates to a specific Radon plane and not to the point where you compute this quantity. So it goes outside the summation, and then we remember that N is normalized, so all the weights add up to 1. So basically, we have here the standard 3D inversion formula. So, right. So here's more a little bit more about this. Right. So, in braces you have Grandjean, right, and then you differentiate along source trajectory, divide by the Jacobian, and you get second derivative. And then what you get using the Fourier slice theorem is nothing else but inverse Fourier transform of the Fourier transform of F, but with the cutoff function inserted. So if this is 1, I have exact reconstruction. But this is not 1. And it is essential that this is not 1, because you see, I'm doing things like that. And I'm dividing by quantities that can be 0. And they're 0 exactly when planes are tangent to the source trajectory. So by the introduction of this cutoff function, I basically made my life very, very easy, because I just don't have to worry about zeros in the denominator. Things are fine. Right, so the left side, right, so if you go back to this relationship, right, so I'm moving in two directions. This is my starting point, and I'm moving in two directions from here. And one direction would be to see what effect B8 has on F, right? And B8 is just this, right? It's almost exact reconstruction, almost, but not exactly. And now, of course, so this is mathematical side, the practical side. How do we compute this monster? Right. So now, temporarily I denote by G that expression in braces, right? And I do some this expression braces involves differentiation along source trajectory, and I replace this derivative by using another variable Q. Because later on, my angle, integration over my angle, will contain S in it. So to avoid, worrying about chain rule and stuff, I'll just replace S by Q. Okay, so G is my first derivative of the Radon transform because of the Grandjean relation. Okay, so when you introduce this G, the formula that I wrote reduces to this expression. Right, so here's your derivative, the Grandjean, then the weight function, then I divide by this. So this comes from the Jacobian, I remember. Now, here you can actually change variables, so you can do the following. So this is summation over intersection points, right? And then this is a standard trick. You can actually replace the summation by integration over the source trajectory, by basically inserting expression like this, delta alpha dot x minus y of s, right? And so this thing picks up only exactly the points S where you have intersection of the plane with the source trajectory. All right, so, of course, you have to worry about the Jacobians and all that. So, And then you change order of integration, and you come up with this. You come up with this formula. So here a couple of steps are hidden. In particular, changing the order of integration. So of course, this needs to be justified, and I mean this is justified. But just to explain briefly, this is there are no problems here because the problems might arise if I had a singularity. But I made my life easier because I introduced an eraser. And so all those tangential intersections, all those problems have been taken care of. So I can change the order of integration as much as I like. Right? So because of this function eta, I do not worry about tangential intersections. Okay, but this already has the hint of desirable structure. So outside, I have integration over the source trajectory. This is familiar distance weighting. And then inside, I have integration over the angle, right? So so the next thing would be to see what is going on with this integral. So let us discuss briefly what is going on here. So in G, remember we have integration, Grandjean type integration. So you take continuum transform, you differentiate, and then you integrate over all possible directions perpendicular to a fixed vector alpha. And then outside you are performing another integration over all directions alpha perpendicular to that source to reconstruction point vector. Right, so this is a very complicated operator that acts on your cone beam data. Right, so cone beam data is hidden in this function g, and then via those complicated procedures, you arrive at this integral. So the next question would be to see, can we simplify this? And then something that I'm amazed about happens. So when you simplify this, so I do not go into details, then you arrive at the following formula. So here we have three integrals so far, right, overall. So integral over source trajectory, that's fine. A filtering type integral. So you filter along a plane. And then you multiply the filtering result by a certain expression, and then you perform another integration. And so so we have three integrals involved in this formula. But a miraculous thing happens. See what is being differentiated here in this integral over all filtering planes. Signum function. Well, signum function is obviously weight function. Remember, we require that the weight function is piecewise constant. Right? So this thing is piecewise constant. What isn't piecewise constant? This weight, this cutoff function, eta, is not piecewise constant. But our goal was to make it constant. Right? So remember, on the other side, this whole expression equals to almost exact reconstruction. Right? So if I manage to find it. Yeah. So on one side, on the computational side, we have this. On the Fourier side, we have this. So our goal is to make this one. Right? And if I make this one over here, then suddenly I'm just differentiating a piecewise constant function. And of course, we cannot just say, well, this is one, but as is normally the case, we just consider the limit on both sides when eta approaches one in the appropriate mathematical sense. And so on the left, we just get exact reconstruction. And on the right, we have a very nice computational structure or a very nice result that this degenerates into a sum of delta functions. So this extra integration suddenly disappears. And what you get is just a two-dimensional integral, certain filtering. Then you add these filtering results because of say sum of delta function, and then you do back projection. So the reason I call this a miraculous formula is that everything canceled out very nicely. So apart from this transient cutoff function, what is being differentiated are only piecewise constant functions and nothing else. So all the Jacobians, everything worked out so nicely, they canceled everything and just these piecewise constant quantities remained. So that's why I think this is a very interesting formula. So once you do that, once you take this limiting process, then you come up with a nice result, I mean with the compact result. So this is the final reconstruction formula where you do some filtering, then you multiply by back projection weights, which are just values of discontinuity of this product, right? And then you add this up, you perform distance weighting, and then you just back project by performing the integration over source trajectory, right? So this is the formula. Okay, so what are the implications? Right, so this is so far just very general, right? So trajectory was complete trajectory, and I haven't even determined the weight. So the weight was also very general. The only two conditions were that it's piecewise constant and that it is normalized. So one can play with the weight, and for example, one can take uniform weight. So for example, if for a given plane you have, say, 5 intersection points, then each point gets weight 1/5, right? So it's just 1 over the number of intersection points for the given plane x alpha. Right, then, of course, one can see that this function, the weight is indeed piecewise constant because it is discontinuous only when your given plane is either tangent to the source trajectory or contains an endpoint. I call such a plane critical. Then one can actually see that if you have a critical plane for a given x, all other x within that plane will share it as critical. And so you can actually separate filtering and back projection type steps in the formula. And you get this typical standard FBP structure where this integration is actually shift invariant, is convolution type, and then you perform back projection. Good, thanks. Okay, another. So, for example, in helical CT, one could come up with approximate algorithms based on the notion, say, if the helix is very tight, then you almost have a 2D situation, and so one could come up with approximations. For more complicated trajectories, there were no insight as to how to come up with the exact algorithm. So here you get this basically automatically with very little effort, just some simple counting. So if you use, for example, two orthogonal circle trajectory, right? Just two orthogonal circle trajectory, and use the uniform weight for the trajectory, then the theory tells that you have to look at those critical planes that are either tangent to the source trajectory. Here we don't have endpoints, only tangent to the source trajectory. So if you put yourself into one of the circles, right, then, of course, tangency to the source trajectory means that you are tangent to the circle at the point where the source is. This gives you these filtering directions. And then when you're tangent to the other circle, you get these filtering directions. And then you just count the number of intersection points. Say if you pick X, and then you look at the critical plane, say on this side you have 4 intersection points, 2 for each circle. On this side you have just 2 intersection points only with the circle, so the magnitude of the jump is 1/4 minus, one-half minus 1/4 is 1/4. So, with similar simplicity, you find all other back projection coefficients. So, so this formula gives very frequently very easy answers for complicated trajectories. And then to summarize, you can actually show that those exact FVP type inversion formulas that I came up with a couple of years ago are just particular cases of this general formula. The only difference is that the weight now is quite complicated because the spiral trajectory is, has its own unique features. And so by choosing weight appropriately, you just see that you get those earlier inversion formulas from the general one. Right, and the last slide. So to conclude, the first two exact inversion formulas for spiral CT are particular cases of this general approach, and then this is this approach allows to come up with other FVP type inversion formulas for complete source trajectories. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions, remarks?
I brought a copy of your paper here. A couple of copies.
Thanks. Thank you.
So, obviously you explained to hear this in great detail, and you've just shown that you've looked specifically for the purpose of just showing the example of the two orthogonal circles. Mm-hmm. Can you just outline the other ones you looked at explicitly to see what happens, I think, the trajectories you've considered? Any open trajectories, non-connected?
Well, first of all, helical trajectory, right? Yes, and then... So using uniform weight, you can deal with any trajectory, and you automatically get a FVP type inversion formula. But if you have endpoints, so you get those critical planes or critical directions for filtering that come not only from tangent planes, but also planes that contain endpoints, right? So you just have to filter more, right? And then if you want to get rid of these directions that come from the existence of the endpoints, then you have to play with the weight to remove those, just like it was done in the helical case. Right, so by appropriately, I didn't have time to go into this here, by carefully selecting the weight here was also arbitrary, right? So by carefully selecting the weight, you can actually get rid of these additional filtering directions.
You said that these were done for a single point X, but then you took a limiting procedure. So in what sense?
A limiting procedure in eta, in the cutoff function, on the cutoff function. So still X was...
Pointwise then.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's exactly right. So the formula holds pointwise.
And with what hypotheses on X?
C not infinity. So I didn't prove it for in the sense of distribution, say. Yes, I should have said, thank you. Yes, so F is C not infinity. And of course, the trajectory doesn't come through the support of F. So, like, the trajectory is outside.
Yes, please.
So your filters, though, they're not local, are they?
The filters, just like Rolf, yes, very similar. So they're not local within those critical planes, but you don't have to go all the way around with these critical planes. So, for example, this is the property that allows use of axially truncated projections in helical CT. Exactly, long object problem. Yes.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.